Service where we give gratitude to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we are your children, and we look at you through the Word of God, and we are in awe. We thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning, and we pray that you will help us to focus and concentrate that we will be able to recognize that it's not by merit, but by grace. Now we commemorate that grace in giving, not from a sense of compulsion, but from a sense of great gratitude. We do this to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Our custom to prepare ourselves for the study of God's Word by having a few moments of silent prayer so that we can make sure that there's no unconfessed wandering around in our soul. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we recognize that the Lord Jesus Christ is in control of all things. The world is continuing to go as it always has because Satan is the ruler of this world temporarily. We want to be good and faithful servants, but we can't do that without knowledge, especially knowledge of the Word of God. We pray that you will help us to focus and concentrate this morning on your word. But we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I have a few announcements before we get started. One of them is that I looked at my schedule today, which I rarely do, and I found that I'm supposed to go to Brenham Rehab and Silver Sage, which are nursing homes, and I'm supposed to do it today. I'm glad I checked it, but anyhow, if any of you can have time, if you're able to come, I would appreciate it. It would make it a lot easier on me because the things to carry in, and the old folks need help when they're trying to find what page number. So what I'm going to do is what I pretty much have as a routine. Is I will be here in the church at 2 o'clock, and then we will, whoever comes, if I hope you do, we'll all leave and go there, and then we'll go to, first of all, we're going to the Brenham Rehab. That's over there by the high school. And Silver Sage is over there by Nathan's Barbecue. If everybody knows where that is. So anyway, if you can make it, I would appreciate it. I'd like that. Okay. Okay. Let me get my... Let's see if we're going to do, go to war with my computer here. Or with all right. I never know. Okay. Put this up on the board. The series we have been covering is national and personal crisis. And somebody say, well, look, it looks like everything is going well, so we need to get on another subject. I think not. Because we don't know what the future holds. And we want to make sure that we're ready for wherever, whatever happens. So the series we have been covering is National and Personal Crisis. We are preparing for whatever we will face in the future. We have already covered a few terms that are not covered in the that were not covered in the past that we need in order to be prepared. And here's a few. I hope that you recognize them. The first one is the Divine Dynasphere. And then we went to the Cosmic System. The Divine Dynasphere, of course, is the sphere that God reigns. And the cosmic system is Satan's reign. And the cosmic system is broken down into two different cosmic systems there. The first one is Cosmic One. And there you are very arrogant and you're not doing what you're supposed to. And Cosmic Two is when you are not only not getting doctrine, you go away from doctrine and the pitfalls of those. And the Divine Dynasphere, the Cosmic System, Cosmic One, Cosmic Two are already on the website. And they will have these terms in the little bit of information for each lesson. Now today we will add to these Super Grace Blessings. Super Grace, what is that? And blessings by association and logistical grace. Those are the three things that we're going to go over today. And when you get all of these to where you understand what's going on here, it makes you stronger. It makes you ready for the future. Because you just, when a crisis hits, it's not if one hits. When a crisis hits, then you have all this to pull into your soul and put these together, and you're not panicking. You understand what to do, and that's why I gave this little note here so that we would recognize how important knowing these terms and using these terms are. So, this is point number 15. We're just picking up on last Sunday. We didn't get all the way through with the topic, mainly it was freedom. So we'll start here, and this we covered this. There's, I think, two verses here that we're going to get to, and then we'll be in our study for today. So point 15 says, so by taking the responsibility for his own failures and bad decisions, man learns his inherent and acquired weaknesses. He learns that he does have inherent, we all have an old sin nature, that's part of it, and acquired weaknesses, and seeks for a power source greater than his weaknesses, that is greater than himself. So when you recognize how weak you are because of the inherent and acquired weaknesses, it's not normal, natural for a person to seek something that is stronger than they are, so you won't be pulled down constantly by these weaknesses. Now we have, I thought we had two of these, but we have one. I only listed that one. Now this is for today's lesson, and it's verse 16, not verse, but number 16. Therefore, knowledge of truth, and I put a slash doctrine, because when I think of truth, I think of doctrine, and when I think of doctrine, I think of truth. So these are essentially synonyms here. Therefore, knowledge of truth are and doctrine not only manufactures freedom, it also brings deliverance and prosperity to a nation. So when you are free, and you are free to learn Bible doctrine, it eventuates into deliverance and prosperity of a nation. Now, this occurs when groups of believers form a pivot, forward slash, remnant. This is the same thing that I did up here with truth and doctrine. The pivot and the remnant are essentially the same. These, and I'll finish reading it to describe it. So this occurs when groups of believers form a pivot slash remnant by advancing to spiritual maturity, at which point they become individual heroes with invisible impact. Now, the only people that become invisible heroes and have invisible impact are those who have reached spiritual maturity. And that doesn't happen in just a short term, or long term. And when you have that, when you reach spiritual maturity, then you can become an invisible hero with invisible impact. Now, what is an invisible hero? It's not like you can't see him, of course. But it's, what it's talking about is that they are not only learning doctrine, but they are using doctrine. And they have, when you're a spiritual, at the point of spiritual maturity, you're not relying on other people. You're relying on things that you have learned over the years, and then you can apply them to the situation. So they're invisible in that. Now, there are heroes that are visible, but they're not under they're not invisible heroes, because they're heroes. And you just look at President Trump's cabinet. I don't know all of them there, but I think all of them, or most of them, are visible heroes. At least I hope that turns out to be what they're going to be. We don't even know for sure at this point all of how many more are going to be confirmed. But that would be a visible hero. But the invisible heroes are the ones that have impact. And of course, nobody knows who they are. Maybe the person that is an invisible hero knows that they, or maybe thinks maybe that he's an invisible hero. They don't. He wouldn't dwell on that anyway, because it's the Lord that is using him to produce his will there. And the invisible impact. Now, we can, a visible hero, we can see and know what the impact is. But on these spiritual heroes, the invisible is behind the scenes, but they are actually the spiritual impact of invisible heroes are greater than the visible heroes and the impact they have. Number 17, this is the last one we get into, and then we're going to get into the details here. Point 17, the more a believer uses his positive volition towards the plan and power of God by trusting and obeying. I could have just moved on with this sentence, but I put by trusting and obeying, because that's how you access the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. So, positive volition, of course, is you are exercising your free will that you are going to get into the plan and power of God. And this is the way you do it, is by trusting and obeying Him. The greater the blessing and prosperity He receives. So, let me ask you this morning, how much of blessings and prosperity would you like to receive? Let's see, on a scale between 1 and 10, what is your desire to be have the greater blessing and prosperity? Would you say that's number 2 on your, 5? 10! And the problem is most people don't understand or know how to get to that point. But you are the master of your will, your free will. And when you understand that you can get great blessings and prosperity, and you are the one that decides that you want to get that, and you all pretty much have shown me that you want a 10. That's how much you desire. 10 being, of course, the greatest one. And then we go back to trusting and obeying Him. And the only way you're going to continue to trust and obey, I'm just nearly holding myself out from breaking out in song and saying, trust and obey. Sorry about that. But that's how it happens. And the main word that goes along with that is consistency. Or consistency. You have to be consistent, not only if you want to receive these blessings and prosperity, but in my period, it's being consistent. Stick to it. And that is what always comes out on the good side. Okay, now, God gives some believers super grace. You see a little asterisk, and I'll explain that in a moment. God gives some believers super grace, which have greater blessings. The people who God gives super grace to have greater blessings. But I want you to zero in on this word. God gives some believers super grace. Not all believers get super grace, but the ones who reach spiritual maturity, they are the ones that get the super grace. Greater grace. And you see this in James chapter 4, verse 6. I'll show that to you in a moment. These blessings can overflow to family, friends, a city, or a nation. And we call this blessings by association. When God is giving you super grace and super grace blessings, then your cup overflows. And you have had all the people that you know you have contact with, and you have so many blessings that it spills out to these people too, and that's why it's called blessings by association. And this is what I was explaining when it says that you could be, first of all, you would have the blessings by association with family. That would be the first one I would think of. Friends, a city, or even a nation. And those are blessings by association. And this is just introducing these. We're going to go in more detail as we go along. You notice that the super grace has a red asterisk and the blessings by association has a asterisk as well. And that's because we're going to go do a deep dive in these. Now, we're going to start with super grace. Point number one, grace is all that God is free to do for man on the basis of the cross. Very simple definition, but that's what grace is. Grace is all that God is free to do for man on the basis of the cross. If Jesus Christ had gone to the cross and paid for our penalty of sin, there would be no freedom and there would be no grace. But because of what Christ did on the cross, God is free to give us your freedom. Two, God the Father was propitiated. And if you want to impress your friend, let's get this spelled right. It's PROPITIATED, propitiate. And I didn't really mean it about impressing the friends because then you get in and it wouldn't go anywhere. So God the Father was propitiated, meaning satisfied with the work of Christ on the cross, which freed God to bless man under the plan of grace. He had to have taken care of that, and then it opened him up so he can give us grace. Number three, grace is God's freedom to to express his love through grace to mankind without compromising his essence. So if God was expressing his love through grace to mankind, and he was compromising his essence, what would that mean? It would mean we'd have no salvation, because God's essence, we if you've been to Baraka Church or even around here for a while, we call the thing up we use for seeing what God's essence is, we call it the essence box. And in that box, there's about 12 things that are describing his essence. And so that is, in other words, God is perfectly righteous, perfectly just. He's perfect in every way. And so in eternity past, he decided that he would have the freedom to express his love through grace without compromising his essence. And again, it's because of what Christ did on the cross that enabled him to do that. Number four. Under the principle of grace, God does all the work and providing, while man does all the receiving and benefit. Do you think that's a good deal? Yes, it is. In the concept of grace, everything depends on God's essence. I should probably, maybe next time I'll put up an essence box. Some of you probably have never seen it or heard of it. And some of you know about it and use it, or at least understand it. So God is doing this. The great sovereign of the universe is not a dictator or a tyrant. Just the opposite. He puts things on himself, by giving us grace, and it's always his working. It's not for him, it's for us. Now we're going to get a definition of super grace. This is going to be a definition, several points to it. The first one is, super grace on earth and surpassing grace in heaven. I need to explain to that, show you. I'm not going to do it now, but there is on the visuals, we have one of those that's talking about the grace is, and it has several points on it. But super grace is only occurs to a believer on earth. When he dies, he goes to heaven, then there is grace waiting for him there as well. Isn't that a good idea? I mean, if you had these super grace blessings here on earth, and then you were going to go to heaven, and there wasn't there something there that was better, wouldn't that be kind of a gift? What's that? Of course, God takes care of all of it. So the super grace occurs on earth, and the surpassing grace, that's grace that's better than super grace, is in heaven for those who reach spiritual maturity. And the great thing that makes surpassing grace surpass super grace is that it lasts forever. All these blessings. Now, on a scale between 1 and 10, I don't even have to ask you. These are great things, and most people have never heard of super grace. They never heard of surpassing grace. They never heard of blessing by association and those types of things. So that's what you need to know to begin with. God has taken care of us the whole time we're alive. Gives us this super grace. This is greater grace than what you get in logistical grace. We'll get to that. If I just keep moving on, we might get to it, but I don't know if we will or not. The nomenclature comes, that super grace, from James chapter 4, verse 6. And in that verse, it doesn't call it super grace, it calls greater grace. And when it says it's greater grace, what does it mean? Like commercials, they will say, our soap is 50% better than the rest. And they have nothing, I mean, how do you know? I mean, what is that based on? Well, this greater grace is based on comparing super grace to logistical grace. Super grace, super, the super means it's a lot better. But only some will get it, not all. Here's James chapter 4, verse 6. But he gives a greater grace. Now, most people see this and they don't know what logistical grace is, and they say, okay, well, what is that? This is saying it's greater than what you have. Every believer has logistical grace. We'll get to that sooner or later, but I need to show you here that every believer, the best of the best, the worst of the worst, they all get logistical grace. But I don't want to say more because I need to keep going. Therefore, but he gives greater grace or super grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And this is an ongoing thread through everything in the Bible, and that is, we are born spiritually dead and arrogant. Arrogant. But always the humble gets the blessing. So, God is opposed to the proud. I remember when Pastor R.B. King Jr. used to give this. He didn't say to the proud. He said, God makes war against the arrogant. That would be a better, I think, that would express this. It doesn't matter saying anything. God is opposed. If you say God makes war against the arrogant, I think that's a little stronger than just being opposed. He's making war. How would you like God to make war? You. Don't be proud. Don't be arrogant. Okay, so this is what a lot of this is going to stem from. Here's a few other verses that will go along. First of all, you notice it says, therefore it says. What does that mean? It means this is a verse that was rooted in another verse, and the other verse is here, right here. Proverbs 3:33. And this is the way it comes out there. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwelling of the righteous. Now, when we have a quote, it doesn't have to be word for word. Most of the time it is, but it's got the same gist. Excuse me. So it says, essentially, the same thing. But that says, therefore it says, the it is Proverbs 3:33. Then we have Matthew 23:12. Whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. Who are you thinking about? Are you thinking about somebody that you think needs to know this? I don't know, by the way, if that's what you think. But, I mean, a lot of times we are prone, old Joe Blow over here, he really needs to see this because he's always exalting himself. If you're exalting yourself, what goes along with that exaltation? What? Pride, yeah, but I'm thinking about bragging. That's how that can you. In fact, I don't even know if you can exalt yourself without bragging. And so, if somebody is bragging, they are exalting themselves, and that means they're going to be humble. Maybe you could take a little card, put it in your pocket. Every time somebody starts exalting themselves, you don't have to say anything. Just say, here, you might like to read this verse here. And then 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. 1 Peter 5:5. You younger men, likewise be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. For For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Seems like we heard that before. Now, excuse me. Both super grace and blessings by association are related to God's power, and you see that in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. So, when you are able to give blessings by association, and when you have super grace, it's not your power that's making this happen. It's God's power, because you cannot have super grace, and you cannot have blessings by association apart from God's power. Number four. Both are described as pursuing grace. You see that in Psalm 23, verses 5 through 6, Ephesians 1, 6. I've looked up these verses, and that's what you need to do. If I went through all of these verses, I wouldn't get this far in what I'm wanting to teach. But you go to these verses, and you'll see that these verses indeed are describing what is said in point number four. Isn't that unbelievable that both the blessings by association and super grace that we've already gone over, as they're described as pursuing grace? You don't have to pursue grace, because God's grace is pursuing you. That's how much God loves you. So, number five. The blessings of each are beyond human imagination. This is how great these blessings are. But again, let's start where it starts. It starts with salvation. And then it goes to learning Bible doctrine. And then if you persevere and you are consistent, eventually you will reach the spiritual maturity. And when you reach spiritual maturity, that's when these kick in. And they are so great, they're beyond human imagination. And here's a verse that explains that. I'm sorry, can y'all see those back in the back when it's in low like that? Alright, so Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly beyond. That's a big term of word. To him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works within us. So, we have a power that works in us. He's not saying all this happens because we're making it happen, but this exceedingly abundant beyond what we can ask or think, according to the power that works within us. It's not our power. I think last Sunday, I said, sometimes I get Sunday's message and Romans' message kind of combined there. But last week, I think I told you that man has no power. Y'all remember that? And I said it. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is all these things that happen, we can't take any credit for, because the power that works within us is not our power, it's God's power. How much power do you have when you are in carnality? Zilch. None. You better acknowledge your sin as fast as you can and get back in there right with God, because you have no power. You don't even have the power to get back into it, but God has arranged it where when we acknowledge our sins are forgiven and moved as far as the east is from the west. Point six. In 1 Timothy chapter 14, both, and that's talking about super grace and the grace of the other one. 1 Timothy 1:14, both are described as abundant grace. Some it says greater grace, and some say abundant grace. So I said earlier, if you are a normal believer, you will have logistical grace, which covers it. But we're talking on a higher level. We're talking about abundant grace, grace that you could never even think or anything. It's so great, that abundant grace. Number 7, by definition, super grace is the highest adult stage of the spiritual life in the royal family of God. Who are the royal family of God? Let's say, we are. Now let's say it right this time. I'll just say it. When I say it, you say it. That means you know that you are a royal family, and you don't have any right to claim, oh, I'm really great. No, you're royal family because of Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We are identified with Him, and that's why we're royal. So I'm going to ask you again, and then I'm going to answer it, and we'll all answer it together. Are you ready? Okay. Who are the royal family of God?
We are.
All right. Oh, that's great. Let's do it again. Who are the royal family of God?
We are.
All right. That's good. I mean, that's all right. Number 8, super grace is the maximum glorification of Jesus Christ. So the grace that we have, that God gives us, Jesus Christ, and He does all the work, and Jesus Christ gets the glorification. Okay, now, you want to hear some specific blessings of super grace? I would like to hear that. We've kind of in a general sense. Now we're going to get down to things that we can probably understand better. The first one is that we have spiritual blessings and sharing the perfect happiness of God and occupation with God. Those are two terms that I'm familiar with. Maybe some of you are. But when you are blessed by God, super grace blessing, you have the perfect happiness of God. Now, I'm not going to be in a hurry. I'm not going to get close to where I need to be. I don't care. But perfect happiness of God. Do we do the 1 through 10 again? Or do we all know it's a 10, right? Would you like to have the same kind of happiness that God has? Well, we sharing the perfect happiness of God is what happens when you have super grace blessings, you are +8. And occupation with Christ. What does occupation with Christ mean? Does that mean you're going to work for Him? No. It means your mind is occupied with the Lord Jesus Christ, during the day. And when you something happens, you drop something, or you spill milk, what are you not supposed to do when you spill milk? Cry, yeah. We don't cry when we spill our milk because we are in occupation with the Lord. And sometimes some bad words come out when things happen like that. But you can handle those as well. But it means you are a spiritual person. That's the most important part of you, is your spiritual life. And having a spiritual life and understanding and growing as you learn the doctrine, then that's what's called occupation with Christ. How many believers that go to church and they talk the talk, but they never connect there's no power in it, and they don't think about the Lord. And it's so easy for that to happen in our age because we live in a breakneck speed of going nowhere. And everybody is got. I just think about my mailbox. I don't like my mailbox. I mean, it's a nice, dirty mailbox. I can't believe how they stand it in. But when you go out to your mailbox, most of the time, the things that you're going to get are things you'd just rather not have. But the magazine. I have a cardboard box,
big one,
and they're for magazines. When we come in the house, and Carrie does it most of the time. She likes to look at the clothes and things. And just throw magazines in the box. So, I don't know, how did I get that from occupation? Yes, they were occupied with magazines, I don't know. But anyway, the whole point is you think about him. And you go out and you see a beautiful day like this today, you don't say it normally. Maybe you do. That's fine. But he hears, he knows what you're thinking. And you can just look out and say, what a beautiful day. Yesterday I was out with Terry and the dogs. We have two dogs, Loki and Goober. Goober's a hound dog. Don't ever get a hound dog if you have property because they... all they want to do is go out there and smell. Anyway, we were out there, and I have a pond, and we call them a tank around here, and the sun was setting. And I looked straight up. The most beautiful blue. Did any of y'all see that? I mean, this happens all the time. But I just said, thank you, Lord. Look at all the things that I'm able to enjoy. And I don't care about one thing of it. Moments like that that you can kind of make this check mark that you're occupied with the Lord. You're thinking about Him. He is your greatest friend. He is your God. He's everything. And yet people go through life and they're not happy because they don't have gratitude for all the things that God's given. So I spent a while on that one, but that's all right. Point B, capacity for life, love, happiness, blessing, and total appreciation for grace. We're talking about spiritual blessings here now. Let's look at it. Capacity for life. What does it mean to have capacity for life? Anybody got an idea? You can just say whatever you have, whatever you think. If you give it a shot, capacity for life. Capacity for life means that, well, the very next word has a lot to do with capacity of life. You have the capacity to love. But people who don't have capacity for life, they are the complainers. They are the ones that are always nipping at other people and they're not happy. But if you have occupation with Christ, you're going to have happiness and you're going to have capacity for life. And when the crisis hits, you don't panic and you don't get angry. You don't do any of these things. You just go into these super grace and all the divine dynasty there. You can put all those together in your mind and you say, okay, well, I'm fine because I'm in the divine dynasty here. And the catastrophic crisis, can I get past it? We have another airplane crash. And it was really bad because it was hit a town and several people were killed. And, of course, everybody knows that that's horrible that that happened. But what most people do is they get angry, they're afraid, they are unstable, they don't know what to do. But if you are a super grace believer getting special blessings, specific blessings, then that will not undo your life. You move on. One of the hardest things, I think, for someone to endure is when a spouse dies. And you have to have capacity for life then. And if they were a believer and you know it, you have that solace to know that you're going to see them again. And you don't... of course, I'm sure there is mourning for a while, but capacity for life, people who have that, they just keep going, and they keep thanking God for the grace they have. I need to go on because I could take each one of these, but I've got so much more to give you. So, spiritual blessing has to do with capacity for life, love, happiness. Everybody's looking for happiness, but they don't find it. Because if you're looking for happiness, you don't have it. But if you have passion for life and you love, there's going to be happiness automatically. You don't have to search for it. And then there's blessing and total appreciation for grace. You cannot thank God enough for the things that He does for you. I don't know. We eventually will be in eternity, and maybe for all eternity, I don't think that the appreciation of God's grace is ever going to be minimized. I think it's going to be even greater there than it is now. A total sense of security. This is another one of the specific things. Whether in prosperity or disaster. I heard some people were saying after these plane crashes, they were in the reporting. The reporters were in the answering or asking questions, and one of the questions was, "Do you think that people are going to stop flying?" Well, stupid question. But anyway, why would you stop going? Stop flying because somebody gets a horrible thing like that? They say it's more dangerous to be in a car than it is in a plane. And, the way I'm looking at 290, I believe that's pretty true. By the way, y'all be careful when you get out on 290. Because we look to the left to see if cars are coming. Most of the time they are. And sometimes you have to sit there for a while to have to take enough break to get across to the other side. But sometimes you don't realize how fast those cars are. There's a lot of those cars out there, right, going by, that are driving 75 or 80, and if you miss how fast they're coming, then you can make it. So isn't it great that we have a sense of security, and it doesn't matter what happens with the economy, we still have prosperity or disaster, whatever it may be, we still have a sense of security. And D is, super grace is the objective of the believer after salvation. What is your goal? Well, our goal should be to reach spiritual maturity, because once you reach spiritual maturity is when the super grace kicks in. The abundant grace, the super grace blessing. That is the highest when you're on earth. Of course, when you get into heaven, it's even better. Okay. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 through 19. Ephesians 3, 16 through 19 says that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory. How many riches? How big are the riches of God? Well, He omnipotent, He is sovereign. So, again, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man. That's the Holy Spirit using His power for you to do what God wants you to do. Verse 17. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So important, the faith part there. You can't please God without faith, period. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That's also with having dwell in your hearts means that you are you're in Christ. What am I trying to say? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And that you'll be rooted and grounded in love. So that's occupation with Christ. That's the word I'm trying to say. When Christ dwells in your heart through faith, and that you're rooted and grounded in love, all that has to do with occupation with Christ. You're thinking about Him, you're thinking about how much you love Him, how much you praise Him, and what He wants you to do, and so forth. Verse 18. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, height, and depth. So what this verse is trying to do, and we're talking about super grace and blessing, and this is just another way to express it. Number 19. I don't know what I did here now. We're not through with the in-depth there. That was verse 18. The verse was longer. I had to get it on the next screen. So that's what it says. Verse 19. And to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. These are things that are so phenomenal. All of us go in stages and we'll get to a certain level. And then we recognize that we're not, we're letting the world come in and take a lot of our time and thoughts away. And you start asking the Lord to help you be closer to Him. And that's what happens. And to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, you can't figure it out, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. That means you're getting everything that God can give you. And that's it. You can't help but have be happy and be secure and so forth. Blessings by association. Now, we just covered super grace. Now we're going to start with blessings by association. And I'm looking at the clock. 4 minutes to time that I don't want to start. I think I'm just going to put this on hold. I don't want this to start because but you do see blessings by association. I'm just curious. We don't have to go over it, but we can see it. Oh! I'll tell you what. I'm going to give you this definition. The definition of blessings by association. Blessings by association is the overflow of divine blessing imparted to the mature believer. All this has to do with mature believers. The overflow of divine blessing. Would you like to have that? There's so much. God just has to bless other people that you know because He's blessed you as much as He can. And you have so many blessings. You don't get tired of blessing. I just think about President Trump. He says you don't get so tired of winning. Believers can supposedly get so tired of blessings. But anyway. So it's blessings by association and the overflow of divine blessings imparted to the mature believer. It is one of the categories of blessing which go through the grace pipeline to the mature believer. Some of you have seen that and some of you haven't, but I'm going to go over that next time. It's a really great thing to see. Okay, so it is one of the categories of blessings which go through the grace pipeline to the mature believer. Every mature believer has people associated with him. Believers or unbelievers, God even will have blessings go off not only to believers but unbelievers as well. So every mature believer has people associated with him, believers or unbelievers, who receive blessing as a result of that would be you, the mature believer who receive blessings as a result of their association with him. This is one of the reasons why the wicked prosper. Some people think, that guy is so wicked and evil. How does he prosper? Well, you know somebody that's a super grace believer and he's getting blessings by association. So, anyway, we're out of time. So, I'm going to. The last part of this service is directed towards people, probably most people haven't heard these terms, but if they're ever in a crisis and you understand these terms and apply them, you're going to go through like a blue glass. I mean, you're just going to not be befuddled. You're not going to be panicking or anything. you put all this together and with the happiness and the blessing, how could you not want growth? But there's a lot of people out there that don't know what's going to happen to them when they die. They really don't know, and they're afraid. So they like, oh no, I'm not afraid of death. Well, they're good, hungry. I mean, good. They have enough food, have good health, and all. But you don't have to fear death, because most people fear death because they're afraid they're going to take them to hell. Well, the hell they are. They're not, because Jesus Christ went to the cross. He paid for the sins of the world. And then he was buried, died, was buried, and rose again. He promises that anyone who puts their faith alone in him alone are going to be saved. They are saved at that point. And their ticket to heaven is guaranteed. They become children of God. And there's so many great things that happen at that point. And so it's not a work. This is where so many people get off. Well, you have to work your way going to heaven. God doesn't want anything that you can come up with, because we are so far from Him with regards. He sees our good work as filthy rags compared to what He is. So here's the thing. The way that you are going to get to heaven, the only way to get to heaven, is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, what He did on the cross. And in that moment, He imputes to you eternal life that you need to be in heaven, His own righteousness, which we need as well. So this is what you need to think about, is that God has given you grace every day to live. If you don't have, if you haven't put your trust alone in Jesus Christ, then God has no other choice but to see you as the great white throne of judgment where Jesus Christ is. And all the people there are going to be judged for their work. Everybody, isn't it something that they're not going to be judged for their sin? Two places in Revelation talks about they're going to be judged for their work. What they did is they said, I'm not going to put my trust in Christ's work. I'm going to put my trust in my work. I'm going to work my way there. Of course, that sends them to the lake of fire. So, I hope you will go through these things that we're doing in pretty much a depth, these terms, so that you will be familiar with them. So when the next crisis happens, you'll be prepared. Because that's what we're doing. We're going through there and we're adding more and more so that we'll be ready for whatever happens. So, Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the things that we are learning about you. Amazing how much you love us. We just saw the verse that says it's beyond understanding. But we are sure glad that you do. We pray that you will help us to strive to get to that point of being a mature believer, where we start getting the super grace and all the things that are attended with. So we thank you for all these things. We pray it in Jesus' name. Thank you.